Caring Review, print speaking to the blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview, that is @CUENDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@qnreview.com. That is information@CUENDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 21st of March 2024. From the news section. Cops hunting trio of thugs after man shockingly attacked. This article was written by Ben Waddle and read by me, Corey. Cops are hunting for a trio of thugs after a man was shockingly attacked and robbed on a busy street. The incident took place on Miller Road, near to Haldane Court in Alexandria, on Saturday, March 16th, shortly after 1 a.m. During the horror ordeal, the man was approached and assaulted by two men and a woman. Following that, the trio nicked his bag. The 53-year-old was then rushed to hospital for treatment. Now cops launched a search for the three culprits. One of the men is described as being white, between 30 and 40 years old, around 5 foot 7 inches tall, and of large build, with short, light-coloured hair. The other man is said to be white, between 25 and 30 years old, around 5 foot 7 inches in height, and of slim build, with short, brown hair. Meanwhile, the woman is described as white, aged between 50 and 60 years old, and of medium build, with shoulder-length brown hair. She was wearing a grey hooded top with writing on the back. Detective Constable Emma Chalk is appealing for information. She said, "As our inquiries are continuing, I would like to appeal to anyone who was in the area on Saturday morning who may have witnessed this attack, or who have any information regarding the three responsible to contact us. I apologise for how badly that was read, but there are multiple words missing from this quote. Anyone with information should contact 101, quoting reference 0280 of March 16th. Again, that number is 0280 of March 16th. Alternatively, Crime Stoppers can be contacted on 0800 555 111. Crime Stoppers phone number again is 0800 555 111, where anonymity can be maintained. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Ben Waddle, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 21st of March 2024. From the news section. Former Labour activist Owen Jones quits party in protest. An article written by Matthew Evans and read by me, Corey. Former Labour activist Owen Jones has said he's quit the party due to the direction the Labour leader Keir Starmer is taking it. Until today, Jones had been a staunch Labour supporter for his entire adult life. He later became a prominent campaigner for fellow socialist Jeremy Corbyn in both the 2015 general election and the 2019 general election. Born in Sheffield and raised in Stockport, Jones prides himself on giving a voice to minorities and the working class, and is a vocal critic of the Conservative Party and right-wing groups. Earlier today, Jones posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, announcing his intention to leave Labour and asked his supporters to support either Green or independent candidates. or Labour candidates who still support those policies that millions of us want to fix our battered and bruised country. Jones said that the Labour Party is over, under Starmer, and explained his reasoning in a 7-minute clip. Quote, Labour are going to keep the same ruinous policies that trash this country, Jones added. They support keeping Tory policies that drive hundreds of thousands of kids into poverty and hardship, like the two-child benefit cap. When asked what their big alternative to the Tories is, they said it's going after benefit claimants like George Osborne did. Later in the clip, Jones explained how we all have our red lines, and that his are backing war crimes and manslaughter, referring to Labour's stance on the Israel-Gaza crisis. He later promoted the crowdfunder WeDeserveBetter.uk, which aims to raise funds for Green Party and independent candidates, or Labour candidates who oppose much of Starmer's polarising policies. Mr. Jones made a name for himself with his debut book, Chaps, The Demonisation of the Working Class. He then published his second work, The Establishment, and How They Get Away With It. Both books received praise from critics, and he won several awards for his work. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Matthew Evans, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 21st of March 2024. From the news section. Rail strike dates April 2024. See the planned strike days. This article was written by Carlo Simone and read by me, Corey. Another set of rail strikes is set to take place across the UK at the beginning of April, with workers at 16 different rail companies walking out. Members of ASLEF will hold a rolling programme of one-day walkouts between April 5th and 8th, coupled with a 6-day ban on overtime. This is part of a long-running dispute over pay and conditions, with the union saying train drivers have now not had a pay rise for 5 years, since April of 2019. It added that it wanted to increase pressure on the intransigent train companies and the tone-deaf government following a series of strikes stretching back 20 months. When will rail strikes take place in April of 2024? The rolling programme of strikes taking place at the beginning of April will be as follows. Friday the 5th of April, Avanti West Coast, East Midlands Railway, West Midlands Trains and Cross Country. Saturday, April 6th, Chiltren, GWR, LNER, Northern and TransPennine. Monday, April 8th, C2C, Greater Anglia, GTR Great Northern Thames Link, South Eastern, Southern / Gatwick Express, South Western Railway Main Line, and Depot Drivers, and SWR Island Line. Members will also refuse to work their rest days from Thursday, April 4th to Saturday, April 6th, and from Monday the 8th to Tuesday, April 9th. ASLEF General Secretary Mike Whelan said, last month when we announced renewed mandates for industrial action, because under the Tories' draconian anti-union laws, we have to ballot our members every 6 months. We call on the train companies and the government to come to the table for meaningful talks to negotiate a new pay deal for train drivers who have not had any increase in salary since 2019. Our members voted overwhelmingly, yet again, for strike action. Those votes show a very clear rejection by train drivers of the ridiculous offer put to us in April last year by the Rail Delivery Group, RDG, which knew that offer would be rejected because a land grab for all terms and conditions we have negotiated over the years would never be accepted by our members. Since then, train drivers have voted time and again to take action in pursuit of a pay rise. That's why Mark Harper, the Transport Secretary, is being disingenuous when he says that offer should have been put to members. Drivers wouldn't vote for industrial action again and again and again if they thought that was a good offer. The offer was dead in the water in April last year, and Mr. Harper knows that. The April 8th strike coincides with a strike by train drivers on London Underground in a separate dispute over terms and conditions. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Carlo Simone, and it was read by me, Corey. The Glasgow Times, on Thursday the 21st of March, 2024. From the news section. UK passport prices set to increase in April. See new fees. This article was written by Molly Court and read by me, Corey. The government is set to introduce new UK passport application fees, which will raise by more than 7%. The cost of online applications made within the UK for people aged 16 and above will increase from £82.50 to £88.50 under new proposals. The price hike is subject to parliamentary approval, but is due to come into force next month. Passport fees will increase on April 11th, 2024, if the price changes are approved. How much does it cost for a British passport? The new proposed passport application costs are as follows. A standard online application made from within the UK will rise to £88.50 for adults and £57.50 for children. A standard postal application will increase to £100 for adults and £69 for children. A standard online application when applying from overseas will rise to £101 for adults and £65.50 for children. A standard paper application when applying from overseas will increase to £112.50 for adults and £77 for children. It comes as passport fees rose by around 9% in February of last year. The Home Office said in a statement, "The new fees will help ensure that income from these applications better meets the cost of delivering passports and associated operations, reducing reliance on funding from general taxation." The government does not make any profit from the cost of passport applications. The fees contribute to the cost of processing passport applications, counsellor support overseas, including for lost or stolen passports, and the cost of processing British citizens at UK borders. The increase will also enable the government to continue improving its services. The new fees include those newly applying or renewing their passport. How long does it take to get a passport in the UK? Passports will usually be issued within 3 weeks if they are applying from within the UK, but the government website adds customers are advised that they should apply in good time before travelling. That article was from the Glasgow Times. It was from the news section. It was written by Molly Court, and it was read by me, Corey.
From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, news. Council were told of Killer Junction but did nothing. This article is an exclusive by Lauren Brownlee. The parents of a cyclist who was run over and killed say the junction where their daughter lost her life was an accident waiting to happen. Rosemary Burke and John Newman have spoken out following the sentencing of Paul Mowat, who had admitted to causing the death of Emma Burke Newman by careless driving. We previously told how Emma, 22, was rushed to hospital after the crash at 10 a.m. on January 27th, 2023, at the junction of Broomielaw and the King George V Bridge, but sadly died around an hour later. When I first saw the junction, I thought this is an accident waiting to happen, Rose said. This was bound to happen and, in fact, Go Bike, I think as early as 2019, pointed out to Glasgow City Council how dangerous that junction was and nothing had been done. We're working with the council and we're happy that maybe by this time next year, there's going to be a much safer junction put in place with a dedicated cycle lane. Rose said she had noticed problems with the active travel infrastructure in the city, but also progress, including the junction at the Clutha Bar, which has been made safer. In court on Thursday, Mewat was sentenced to 100 hours of unpaid work and was disqualified for driving for 1 year. There's no closure, Rose said. I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life and have to learn how to deal with it. It's just that all of the anxiety and worry about the criminal proceedings will be over. John added, there are still several avenues to pursue, and then there will be political avenues to pursue in support of better cycling infrastructure and more awareness, so maybe this was the first phase of many. The criminal phase is over, but it's not over. There's so much more to do, and we feel like we have to do it. At the sentencing hearing, Mewat's lawyer Gareth Reid revealed his client, who was described as a hard-working man, has been haunted by the incident ever since. He told the court that Mewat, 69, held Emma's hand and reassured her help was on the way the moments after the crash. Rose said, this does bring some comfort. I was touched that he held my daughter's hand and spoke to her. That was the first time I heard this. But nothing can bring our daughter back. It's been terrible. It turns your life upside down. John added, our lives have become much smaller, less bright, less joyous, and frankly, more fatigued. Rose and John are urging drivers to pay particular attention to vulnerable road users, including getting behind bike boxes, letting cyclists through safely, and giving them space. The driver took away Emma's safe space and caused a fatal accident, Rose said. We want the roads to be safer. Not even just for cyclists, but drivers too. No driver wants to be in that dock. We would like to encourage people, if they're interested in safer roads, to join their local cycling club, Cycling UK or Go Bike. Emma lived in Shawlands and there's a Shawland bike bus, so we hope to join them one day. We want people to get in bikes because there's safety in numbers. The more people that are out there, the safer it will become. It's like this virtuous cycle, and that is our vision. That's what you hope for. Emma, originally from France, was an experienced cyclist and had only lived in Glasgow for around 4 months. She was an architecture student at the Glasgow School of Art. Her devastated parents say she's remembered for her smile, her hugs and her passion for life. A Glasgow City Council spokesperson said, we are aware of the conviction and sentencing of the driver in this tragic case. Following their investigation, police indicated to us there were no road-related issues at the junction that required to be addressed by the council. However, as part of wider work to enhance active travel infrastructure along Broomielaw, we are currently working on improving the junction at King George V Bridge. These proposed improvements will include segregated lines for cycling and a dedicated phase at the traffic signals for active travel, with work done to be completed later this year. And that article was an exclusive by Lauren Brownlee. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, from the news section. Deacon Blue drummer awarded honorary degree. This article is unattributed. Deacon Blue drummer and broadcaster Dougie Vipont has been awarded an honorary doctorate from Stirling University. He received the award for his outstanding contribution to music, broadcasting and community at the university's spring graduation ceremony yesterday. Dougie, who is originally from Renfrewshire, said, I am flattered and humbled by this award. I shed a few tears when I opened the letter and discovered I was to be given an honorary doctorate. The University of Stirling is an extraordinary centre of excellence, and for them to think I'm worthy of this is unbelievable. I would like to thank the university for this recognition. Dougie is a former student of the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama, now the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, in Glasgow, and was playing drums with Deacon Blue while studying classical music at the Performing Arts Centre. In 1987, Deacon Blue's first single, Dignity, propelled him into stardom, and the band has since made 10 studio albums and sold more than 7 million records, with their first three albums going platinum. The band split in 1994 when Dougie was only 27, and he decided to change direction and pursue a career as a television presenter. He began his career at Scottish Television, presenting NB, before he went on to front extreme show, sports series The Adventure Show for the BBC. He was also an anchor for Reporting Scotland and BBC Scotland's flagship football programme Sports Scene, and a presenter of many other sports, including rugby, curling and athletics. He was the first Scottish rugby presenter for Premier Sports, and Viaplay even enjoyed a short stint as co-host of ITV's This Morning. He is currently the presenter of long-running farming and countryside programme Landward, but still finds time to tour with Deacon Blue, who reformed in 1999. Professor Sir Jerry McCormack, Principal and Vice-Chancellor of Stirling University, said, "Dougie Vipont's achievements in music and broadcasting are inspiring. His success with Deacon Blue, and as a versatile broadcaster, makes him a fantastic role model for our students. Everyone at the university enjoyed celebrating with Dougie, our latest cohort of graduates, and their family and friends." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, from the news section, "Drunk driver went after two men in Croftfoot." This article is written by Grant McCabe. A drunk driver who went after two men at speed during a row about a wall has been jailed for more than 3 years. Jamie O'Boyle was behind the wheel of his father's Mercedes when he targeted George Higgins and Richard Doherty in Glasgow's Croftfoot on January the 15th, 2022. Mr. Doherty, a cousin of O'Boyle, managed to leap to safety, but Mr. Higgins was struck in the legs. The 31-year-old went on to brandish a spear, a metal pole with a knife attached, at the men while yelling, "I am stabbing you." O'Boyle, on Thursday, returned to the High Court in Glasgow to be sentenced. He had early pleaded guilty to 10 charges, including assaulting both victims to the danger of their lives. Judge William Gallagher jailed O'Boyle for a total of 40 months. O'Boyle will also be the subject of a 12-month supervised release order when he is freed. Prosecutor Simon Gilbride told how there had been disagreements and arguments about the building work carried out in December 2021. Mr. Doherty had initially gone outside on the night of the attack to collect an e-cigarette from a car when he spotted O'Doyle behind the wheel of his dad's motor. He had taken the Mercedes without his permission. O'Boyle yelled at him, "You are getting done." Mr. Higgins then came outside to check on Mr. Doherty. The men were standing in a grassy area when O'Boyle sped at them and mounted the curb. Mr. Gilbride, Mr. Doherty jumped over a wall. However, the vehicle struck Mr. Higgins on the legs, causing him to flip onto and over the car. A resident then captured on a mobile phone O'Boyle getting out of the motor, picking up the weapon lying in the pavement, and then lunge at the pair. O'Boyle, of Rutherglen, fled the scene but was later arrested and found to be almost three times over the drink drive limit. He stated to officers, "George should be dead after what I'd done to him." Mr. Higgins suffered a sore back, neck and legs, as well as breathing difficulties. The danger to the life was described as potential. The court was told O'Boyle had not brought the pole with the knife attached to the scene. Despite them being on bail, O'Boyle got himself into more bother after refusing to leave a pub in Glasgow's Salt Market on August 13th, 2022. He made homophobic remarks to one constable, as well as threatening to slash and murder officers who arrested him. The court was told at the last hearing that O'Boyle had been piggy in the middle in the dispute over the construction work. He had helped organise for a friend to have a wall built, but the £600 payment was withheld as the person was not happy with the work carried out. O'Boyle's KC, Tony Graham, told the last hearing that Mr. Higgins and Mr. Doherty then took it upon themselves to demolish the wall. This eventually led to a drunken O'Boyle later going after them. Mr. Graham said, "This is a situation of a trivial disagreement that was blown out of all proportion." Judge Gallagher told O'Boyle that, whatever the background, he had still got himself involved in very significant behaviour. And the article was written by Grant McCabe. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March. From the news section, stories from around Glasgow. Norton will host show at Pavilion. One of the biggest stars of UK television is set to host an event in Glasgow later this year. Graham Norton will bring his An Evening with Graham Norton show to the city's Pavilion Theatre on Thursday, September the 12th. The 60-year-old presenter is known for hosting the Graham Norton show and ITV's Wheel of Fortune. During the Glasgow event, the Irish author will discuss his new book, Frankie, and share tales from his star-studded sofa, as well as answering questions from the audience. Norton has won several major television awards, including 9 BAFTAs, 10 British Comedy Awards, and an International Emmy. Busy road set to close. An avoid the area warning has been issued as a busy road in Glasgow is set to be closed. Glasgow City Council has said West George Street between Hope Street and Renfrew Street will be shut from 8 a.m. on Sunday, March the 24th, until 6 a.m. on Monday, March the 25th. The local authority revealed the road would be closed to allow essential carriageway patching works to take place. During the works, drivers are urged to avoid the area. A diversion will be in place for motorists. Bar to open for coffee. A popular bar in Glasgow has launched a new coffee shop. Banana Moon on Great Western Road in the city's West End has revealed it will now be also be operating as a coffee hotspot. The venue, which is known for its cocktails and DJs, said it comes due to demand. The bar will now be open from 8 a.m. daily to serve up locally sourced coffees. And those articles were unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, from the news section, plans for a new benefit welcomed. Plans for a new benefit to support adults with a disability or long-term health condition have been unveiled. Under the proposals, eligible people who receive disability living allowance through the UK Government's Department for Work and Pensions, DWP, would have their award transferred automatically to a new Scottish benefit called the Scottish Adult Disability Living Allowance. They would also have the option to apply for adult disability payment if they wish. Legislation to create the closed benefit for current recipients of the Disability Living Allowance is due to be introduced in the Scottish Parliament this year. The plans have been welcomed by Natalie Dawn, SNP MSP for Renfrewshire North and West. She said, "I am pleased that the Scottish Government is progressing plans to bring forward legislation to create a Scottish Adult Disability Living Allowance and give people the opportunity to remain on this benefit for as long as they are eligible. Once transferred, people can continue to be paid Scottish Adult Disability Allowance or apply for our flagship Adult Disability Payment if they prefer. Around 137,000 people are now receiving our Adult Disability Payment, including over 3,000 in Renfrewshire, based on the latest statistics published this month, and it has provided almost £462 million to disabled people since it was launched in 2022. And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, from the news section, "Thug slashed man then made video on phone. Report by Connor Gordon." A teenage thug who slashed a man's face and then recorded the injury on his mobile phone has been given 3 years child detention. The 17-year-old boy permanently scarred Ibrahim Al-Rifai in Glasgow City Centre on March the 30th, 2023. They'd early got into a short verbal altercation which turned violent. The teenager stated he was going to slash Mr. Al-Rifai before he cut him in the face. The boy then took his phone out and filmed the remainder of the incident and then fled the scene, Mr. Alafa was left injured with a wound which required 6 steri strips and glue to close. The boy pleaded guilty at Glasgow Sheriff Court to assaulting Mr. Al-Rifai to a severe injury and permanent disfigurement. He also admitted to charges of behaving in a threatening or abusive manner. The court heard that Mr. Al-Fayari and friends walked past the boy and 2 other males on Sockey Hall Street. The boy said, "What are you looking at?" Mr. Al-Rifai replied, "Keep walking." The boy went on to throw a punch at Mr. Al-Fayari's group, which missed. He then repeatedly shouted that he was going to slash Mr. Al-Rifai. Prosecutor Hazel Kerr said, "He put his hand into his waistband and removed a folding pocket knife. He then slashed at the right side of Mr. Al-Fayari's face with his left hand. The boy then took a step back and removed his black smartphone and started videoing Mr. Al-Fayari's injury with the phone light on. The boy and his group then ran away from the scene, while Mr. Al-Fayari sought help meantime. He was taken to hospital, where he was found to have suffered a wound across his right cheek. It was stated that this was closed with 5 steri strips and glue. Miss Kerr added, "This will result in permanent scarring." Police received intelligence and traced the boy to his mother's home, where he was arrested. The hearing was told of an incident the following month in which the boy roamed around the city's Lynn Park with a knife. School kids were in the area celebrating the last day of term. The boy was stated to have approached a schoolboy with the knife in his hand. He was later held back while the schoolboy believed here was going to be an attempted stabbing in him. Police were later informed that an altercation had broken out and the schoolboy was somewhere in the park injured. And that article was written by Conor Gordon. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 23rd of March, from the news section. Volunteers dig deep to help plant trees in park. This article is by Kirsty Feerick. Volunteers planted dozens of trees at a park in Glasgow to help the environment. Staff from Enterprise Mobility are laying down roots at House Hill Park near Silverburn to benefit the area. They were joined by up to 90 community groups and hard-working volunteers. The event was part of Enterprise Mobility's Urban Tree Initiative, which aims to create more green spaces in cities, in collaboration with the Arbor Day Foundation and Trees for Cities. It will also provide support for children and young people to learn new skills and knowledge on how to take positive action against climate change. Woodland cover in the UK is one of the lowest in Europe, according to Woodland Trust, who are encouraging the country to become more active in increasing it. Trees help to improve soils as well as prevent flooding and erosion. They can also support wildlife and plants in the area. In Britain, the value of trees alone for flood protection is estimated to be £6.5 billion. Planting outside of woods and letting areas of land regenerate naturally creates vital habitat as well as corridors that help wildlife spread across the landscape. A Glasgow spokesperson from Enterprise Mobility said, "We want to plant more than 2,000 trees in Glasgow as part of our pledge to plant 50 million trees by 2056. This is so we can do our bit for the community." Gillian Barry Green Action Trust said, "Climate Change Forest is an ambitious tree planting initiative to plant 18 million trees across the city region in the next decade. The planting we are doing here at House Hill Park is part of that. It is dedication that everyone is out here, all weathers. We couldn't do it without our volunteers." And that article was written by Kirsty Feerick.
Glasgow Times News. On Monday, the 25th of March, motorists warned as clampdown on tax evaders begins. An article written by Kirsty Feerick. Glasgow motorists are being warned that tax evaders will find it hard to hide in the city. A new campaign has been launched by the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency, or DVLA, to remind drivers of the risks involved with failing to tax their vehicles on time. While more than 98% of all vehicles on UK roads are correctly taxed, some motorists still choose to take the risk, triggering the DVLA to take action against them. This saw a total of 33,929 enforcement actions being launched against untaxed vehicles in the Glasgow postcode area last year. These ranged from financial penalties, court action and clamping, with some vehicles being impounded. Alongside automated enforcement penalties for registered keepers of untaxed vehicles, the DVLA's enforcement teams, in conjunction with wheel clamping partners, also travel around the UK as part of their day-to-day activities to take action against untaxed vehicles. Paul Davis, the DVLA's National Wheel Clamping and ANPR manager, said, "There are a number of ways to tax a vehicle, from using our 24/7 online service to spreading the cost with monthly, six-monthly and annual direct debit options, so it's really never been easier to tax your vehicle on time. With penalties being issued straight to the keeper, as well as our enforcement teams clamping and impounding untaxed vehicles seen on the road, our message is clear. Tax it, don't risk it." An article written by Kirsty Fierick. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 25th of March. Glasgow mentoring scheme urges do not cut jobs as 700 sign petition. An exclusive front page article written by Anne Fotheringham. More than 700 people have signed a petition against cuts to a Glasgow mentoring service in the first 24 hours since its launch. MCR Pathways supports around 2,000 children and young people in the city, many of whom are care experienced or vulnerable. Glasgow City Council announced recently that it was considering plans to cut around 30 Pathways coordinator roles from city schools. A council spokesperson said a review was underway following the council budget last month, but added that several options are being explored, and at this time no decision has been taken to stop the programme. The petition urges the council not to cut the coordinators' roles, as young people will be disadvantaged, and adds removing the support in each school will have a devastating impact on their education outcomes, job choices and life chances. And that's not just for a budget period, it's for a lifetime. The city will eventually pick up all manner of social costs for this catastrophe. "We hope that the voices of the young people will be heard and that corporate parent responsibilities will drive the final decisions." Former mentee Billy Mason was shocked to learn that the charity's coordinators could be axed from schools in the city as part of cost-saving measures. "I was actually on placement at my old high school, where I received support from the programme, when I heard the news," she says. There were some pupils going around with a petition asking people to sign up to protest against any cuts, and it just broke my heart. "Children that are already at a loss, already on the back foot, are facing having this support taken away from them, and they felt so strongly about it they were trying everything they could to rally support." Billy adds, "A few years ago, that was me in that position, so I had a weak cry. Then I sat down and wrote a letter to the First Minister and the Education Secretary." In that heartfelt letter, Billy says that the programme was a beacon of hope during some of the darkest times in her life. "I'm certain I would not be the woman I am today without it," she writes. Billy lived in care from the age of 11 until she turned 18. "Both my parents were alcoholics, so it was not an easy road for me," she explains simply. "It's a weird thing, but you go from having been neglected and not loved to being in foster care and suddenly having someone there to look out for you. It's a big change, accepting that this is how you should be treated. At school, sometimes I just didn't think I would get through it. I was going to leave at 16 and join the Navy. And then my school's MCR Pathways coordinator, Vicky, suggested the programme would be good for me." The 22-year-old, who lives on the south side of the city, adds, "It changed everything. Now I had this champion in my corner. Even just being there for me when I was having a rough day made all the difference. Vicky was amazing, and suddenly I was doing well at school, and I did well in my exams." Billy went on to study sport and physical activity at Strathclyde University, and she's about to begin a master's degree in social work. "It's like things have gone full circle," she says. "I love helping people, so I want to go down that route. I know that without MCR Pathways, I would not be here. and the coordinators are so vital to the operation. How can it run without them? I really hope the cuts will not go ahead. Caitlin Beaton missed a lot of school when she was a young teenager because she was going through difficult times at home. Being part of the MCR Pathways programme gave me a reason to come into school, she says. The coordinator is the person who checks in with you, makes sure you turn up to meetings with your mentor, and looks out for you. That support was vital for me. Without my coordinator, I'd just have given up. Caitlin, who is 24 and lives in North Glasgow, studied social policy and education at university and is now a youth worker with Diabetes Scotland, a charity she's volunteered with since she was 16. She's also recently become an MCR Pathways mentor herself. I know how much it means to have that one supportive adult in your life standing up for you, she says. I feel so grateful to the people who changed my life by fighting my corner, and I just want to be that person for someone else. An exclusive front page article written by Anne Fotheringham. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 25th of March. Lack of access leads to DIY dentistry. An article issued by the Glasgow Times News Desk. More than a third of patients registered with an NHS dentist in Scotland went without a checkup or treatment for 3 years. Figures obtained by the Scottish Liberal Democrats using Freedom of Information laws also show almost a quarter of the 5.16 million people registered last September had not seen an NHS dentist for 5 years. The party said that the SNP is leaving dentists and patients in the lurch, with some people resorting to barbaric options to obtain treatment. The figures show around 1.8 million people registered with an NHS dentist as of September the 30th last year had not received treatment within the past 3 years, while 1 in 10 had not been seen for a decade. Scottish Lib Dems leader Alex Colt-Hamilton said, "Being registered with a dentist is not a mark of accessibility. These figures expose the reality that under the SNP, more than a third of registered patients haven't been seen in the last 3 years, while 1 in 10 haven't had a checkup or any treatment for more than a decade. From DIY dentistry to travelling back to war-torn Ukraine for treatment, people are resorting to drastic and barbaric options." The Scottish Government said that since last September, it has introduced significant dental payment reform to encourage dentists to provide more NHS treatments, and that in the first month following these changes, nearly 400,000 patients were seen by an NHS primary care dentist. An article issued by the Glasgow Times News Desk. Glasgow Times on Monday, the 25th of March. Lifestyle. S Club hails Scottish crowds and tease new music ahead of their bandstand show. An article written by Morgan Carmichael. Noughties icons S Club, formerly known as S Club 7, have promised dancing and reaching for the stars as they headline the bandstand this May. The Bring It All Back hitmakers, which now consists of Joe O'Meara, Bradley McIntosh, Rachel Stevens, Tina Barrett and John Lee, will be playing the famous Kelvin Grove venue on May the 29th. And it will certainly be a party, to say the least. People can definitely expect dancing and reaching for the stars, Joe told the Glasgow Times. She continued, "We're just out there to have a good time. We want everyone who's coming along to the show to let their hair down, go back to being a teenager and just enjoy it all." Bradley added, "It's always a party. We know people coming are going to have a lot of fun and we're looking forward to that." This will be the band's first time playing the bandstand. Its stage has previously seen sets from the likes of Tom Jones, Hue and Cry and Callum Beattie. John added that the band is really excited to play the venue for the first time, which follows on from S Club's Good Times tour last year. The tour took them to the likes of Manchester's AO Arena, the O2 in London and Glasgow's very own OVO Hydro in Finiston. "The Scottish audiences are just so amazing," Rachel said with a laugh. She continued, "They just have such amazing energy. They're always up for it and are so loud and fun. It's going to be brilliant to come back soon and see everyone." Tina added, "We always love coming to Scotland. It's such a beautiful country and the people are so warm. They don't hold back, and that's your perfect crowd. They're usually so loud. Louder than us, actually. Scotland is one of my favourite places to play. 100%. The 2023 tour celebrated 25 years of the group making music together, which Jo says is an honour. She explained, "It's nice to see the fans that were there the first time, who are a bit older now and are bringing their own children to the shows. It's a legacy that will last forever, and to be part of that, we feel so lucky." Tina added, "I think everyone needs to smile at the moment. It's so grim out there. We've come back to cheer everyone up and have an S Club party. We're bringing joy back to pop." But the music doesn't just bring joy to the crowds. "When I hear Reach on the television or the radio, I turn it up. I quite enjoy it," Jo said. She added, "There's something quite magical that happens when Reach comes on. The place just literally erupts, and that always makes me think, wow." And speaking of music, Tina seemed to tease that some new sounds might just be on the way. "It's very likely. Watch this space," she said. It comes after the band released their first single of 20 years, These Are The Days, as a tribute to the late S Club member Paul Catamol, who tragically died last April at the age of 46. The outpouring of love after Paul passed was just so incredible and special for all of us, Rachel said. She added, "We got to celebrate him with everyone, and his memory will always live on through the music we all created together, and we're so lucky for that." Jonathan said, "We still talk about Paul all the time. Even at every venue we went to last tour, we were saying, Paul would have loved this and that. He is very much with us on this whole journey." S Club will appear at the Kelvin Grove Bandstand on May the 29th, and tickets for that show are now on sale. An article written by Morgan Carmichael. Glasgow Times, on Monday the 25th of March. Opinion. No home can be left behind to build a fairer, greener Glasgow. A column written by Patrick Harvey. There are few things as crucial to us as to where we live. Everyone's home should provide comfort, security and affordability. With the Scottish Greens using our influence in government, we will soon be taking the next big steps to improve protection for tenants, building on progress made since devolution. For lots of people across our city, the past few years have been really tough. Budgets have been stretched and prices have soared, but those pressures have been even more acute for people living in private rented homes. In 2010, the average cost of renting a two-bedroomed private flat in our city was £564, which was already among the most expensive in Scotland. It's now £1,050, an 86% increase through a period of Tory austerity when households and families have been facing pressure from all sides. Those pressures have been especially acute over the past 2 years, which is why in 2022, in my role as Minister for Tenants' Rights, I introduced emergency legislation to bring in a rent cap and other protections to support households across our country through the cost of living crisis. There are many people all across our city who have saved hundreds of pounds as a result and who have been able to keep a stable and secure roof over their heads throughout the pandemic and a period of high inflation and bills. The cap will be lifted on March the 31st, which is the final date allowed by the legislation. In the short term, we are introducing new protections, which will be in place from April the 1st, that will limit rent rises and avoid a cliff edge for tenants. Under the new rules, tenants must still be given the normal 3 months' notice of any rent rise, but we're also making it easier for them to challenge extreme rent rises, so that rents cannot simply increase to whatever the landlord demands. The Scottish Government website has a simple rent calculator tool, so helps people see how the rules will work. But it's not just the affordability of housing that has been a big source of anxiety. It's also the insecurity that so many have felt. It's a problem I know all too well. When I first moved to Glasgow, I had a low-paid temping job and an abusive landlord who refused to provide a contract and ended up harassing me out of the flat. His actions would be criminal now, but in those days he got away with it. Sadly, some of the worst practices do still take place. The Scottish Government will soon publish proposals to deliver on our New Deal for Tenants, which we set out in 2021. This will include important action to stop unfair evictions and new rights to allow tenants to make their house a home, from simple things like giving the right to keep pets and decorate, to greater penalties for illegal evictions, as well as a national system of rent controls. It's a package of reform that I believe will work for tenants, but which will also support those good, responsible landlords who want to provide secure, high-quality homes at a fair cost. Across Europe, well-regulated renting goes hand in hand with more investment. Our city is at its best when it works for everyone. I don't believe we should accept a future in which fewer and fewer people can afford to live comfortably and where a warm and secure home is a pipe dream. No home and no tenant can be left behind if we're to build the sort of society and the sort of Glasgow where everyone can have stability, peace of mind, and a place to call their own. A column written by Patrick Harvey, MSP, who is the leader of the Scottish Greens and the Minister for Zero Carbon Buildings, Active Travel and Tenants' Rights. Glasgow Times News, on Monday, the 25th of March. Over 2,000 people sign a petition to save a Renfrewshire care home. An article written by Taylor Murray. A petition to save a Paisley care home has been signed by over 2,000 people. The Save Montrose Care Home appeal was launched by Laurie McEachran recently and has nearly reached its target of 2,500 signatures. The future of Montrose in Fox Bar is in serious doubt after an assessment suggested it would be the most appropriate option to close when weighed against Hunter Hill and Renfrew care homes. The Change.org petition aims to challenge the Integration Joint Board, which has proposed to shut a number of Renfrewshire homes to help close a funding gap. Montrose Care Home currently cares for older adults with dementia and who are vulnerable. In the petition, a message from Laurie said that closing the home would severely impact those in the home. She said, "This decision would have grave effects on the residents of Montrose, their family, the staff and the community. Forcing residents with a high level of needs to move from familiar surroundings can and will have detrimental effects to their health and well-being. Many of the residents' families live locally and travelling to see their loved ones on one or two buses every day is simply unfeasible." Annie's Law, introduced in 2021, recognises that family and friends play an essential role in the health and well-being of people who live in care homes, and that every older adult within a care home has the right to connect with family, friends and communities. They're now putting barriers in place for residents to connect with loved ones, as the residents would be split between both Hunter Hill Care Home and Renfrew Care Home, making it hard for loved ones to commute. Uprooting vulnerable adults from a place that has been their safe haven and home for so many years will cause stress and distress to everyone involved, so please sign our petition to stop Montrose from closing. One person who signed the petition said that it isn't right that the Integration Joint Board proposes to close down homes that care for vulnerable people. Another said, "I see the wonderful care my aunt receives while suffering from dementia. This is such an important service. Please keep this open." A third said, "My mother has been a resident for over 4 years. This is her home. Renfrewshire Council is in effect evicting her and all the other residents from their homes." A fourth said, "My dad is a resident at Montrose Care Home. He's only just settled there. This is a beautiful care home and has stunning views of the Braes and a lovely big lake with swans and ducks. The staff are all amazing. The council should not be closing down care homes. What are they thinking?" It's believed that a protest outside the Renfrewshire Council building has taken place, with people voicing their concerns about the closure. Renfrewshire Health and Social Care Partnership say that if proposals for the closure of Montrose Care Home go ahead, residents will be transferred to homes in Renfrew and Hunter Hill. A spokesperson from the Health and Social Care Partnership said, like all other partnerships across Scotland, our officers are working hard to identify areas to address the budget gap, which is currently projected at £14.7 million, to ensure financial sustainability going forward and to protect core services. We are looking across all services to identify savings, but the initial proposals put forward for consideration represent areas where evidence shows we can safely make our existing service model more efficient. In recent years, we've seen a reduction in demand for residential care, with more people choosing to be supported at home and within the community for as long as possible. Renfrewshire Health and Social Care Partnership has invested significantly in our care and home and associated services to ensure that we can meet this increasing demand. This trend is mirrored in national policy for older people. We've also evidenced a rise in the complexity of needs, meaning more people are likely to need nursing care rather than residential care. As a result, across our three internal care homes, we currently have unutilised beds and have had significant overcapacity for a number of years. We have engaged with residents, families and staff and fully understand how unsettling this is. We have listened to the voices of everyone who have shared their views with us over recent months. If the Integrated Joint Board makes the decision to proceed, we are committed to working with residents and their families to make sure their needs and preferences are prioritised. As part of our engagement, we also provided reassurance to our staff that if the proposal to close Montrose is approved, they would be able to transfer to one of our remaining care homes, Renfrew or Hunter Hill. We previously reported that a group of parents and carers is fighting to save the Milldale Centre in Lynwood following a proposed decision which is looking to merge the centre with the Merrin in Paisley. This is another proposal by the Integrated Joint Board to help tackle the budget gap. An article written by Taylor Murray. Glasgow Times News on Monday, the 25th of March. Parking fines net millions for Glasgow City Council. An article written by Sarah Hilly. Motorists issued with parking tickets have forked out £25 million for breaking parking rules over the last 6 years in Glasgow. Drivers have paid out more than £4.8 million this current financial year, between April until February. Penalty charge notices cost £60, but are reduced to £30 if paid within 14 days. Last year's fines for 2022 to 2023 also hit more than £4.8 million. Pre-COVID years 2018 to 2019 generated £5.02 million, with the 12 months during 2019 to 2020 earning £5.48 million, according to Freedom of Information figures released by Glasgow Conservative MSP Annie Wells. It comes as Glasgow City Council sets out plans to increase parking charges and charge for parking after 6pm across the city. Ms Wells questions whether the rising parking costs for the public can be justified, considering the eye-watering income brought in by the tickets. But a council spokesman said enforcement is crucial for ensuring compliance with regulations to boost road safety, amongst other benefits. Ms Wells said people across Glasgow are understandably furious at the hike in parking charges and their extended use. They'll be even more angry when they discover that the council raked in £25 million over 6 years in penalty notices. This eye-watering income will make many question where the money has gone and why the council believes that motorists need to be punished further. Much of this penalty charge notice income will have come from hard-working Glaswegians who simply made a mistake and had to cough up a significant charge as a consequence. It calls into question again the justification for these parking charge hikes. A spokesman for the council said, "Parking enforcement is crucial for achieving compliance with parking restrictions designed to promote road safety, ease congestion and share limited road space for parking as fairly as possible. Drivers have a responsibility to observe the road regulations or they become liable to receive a penalty charge notice. If drivers complied with the parking regulations at all times, there would be no revenue from parking fines." Changes to parking charges on on-street bays and car parks have been agreed as part of a budget that's required to find £107 million worth of savings from council services over the next 3 years. The budget has sought to target poverty and invest in support for communities with council tax frozen for the next year. The changes to parking charges are consistent with Glasgow's transport strategy, which seeks to encourage a shift to more sustainable forms of transport. Any revenue from parking charges and fines must be used in support of the parking system, and any additional revenue must be used for other roads, transportation and environmental initiatives. This year's budget will also invest almost £9.6 million in street lighting, roads and footpaths, while the council continues to work with transport operators and national and regional transport agencies to secure improvements to public transport. An article written by Sarah Healy.
From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 26th of March, from the news section. First Minister disappointed in NHS watchdog's handling of safety concerns. This article is unattributed. First Minister Humza Yousaf has said he is very disappointed in an NHS watchdog's handling of public safety concerns at a hospital in Glasgow. Healthcare Improvement Scotland, HIS, apologised to consultants at the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital, QEUH, for its shortcomings in investigating 18 months worth of evidence about overcrowding and staff shortages, which staff said seriously compromised the safety of patients. The concerns were first flagged by 29 consultants in May 2023, but the watchdog did not ask to see the evidence or meet with any of the doctors. Instead, it launched an investigation and spoke with senior executives at NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde before closing it in August last year. However, complaints in January this year were upheld that the doctors were not given the opportunity to discuss or present their evidence. Speaking in Edinburgh yesterday, Mr. Yousaf said, "I'm very disappointed and in fact frustrated at the way these cases have been handled by Healthcare Improvement Scotland, and it is right that the HIS has apologised to those who raised complaints. I personally asked for detail around the action that HIS will be taking in order to make sure this doesn't and can't ever happen again. Let me say unequivocally to staff that whoever they are within the health service, they should feel empowered to be able to raise complaints. That's why this government brought forward, of course, the Independent National Whistleblowing Office. It's why we have whistleblowing champions in health board right across the country. The watchdog has now been presented with the evidence from consultants." A spokesman for HIS said, "We can confirm that we first received patient safety concerns in May 2023 from consultants at Queen Elizabeth University Hospital regarding the hospital's emergency department. These concerns were considered through a responding to concerns process, which allows NHS staff to raise concerns in confidence about the quality and safety of healthcare. Following our initial response outlining our findings, we received a complaint from the consultants about their experience of the process. We met with the consultants and agreed with aspects of their complaint and instigated action to address the issues that were raised. We take the findings of the complaint very seriously and are committed to ensuring that our processes for handling concerns about patient safety are robust. We recently received additional information from the consultants about their patient safety concerns, and this information is currently being considered. Meeting again with the consultants will be part of our process for considering these concerns." An NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde spokesman said, "We are committed to improving the patient experience at the QEUH and have been working with consultants within the emergency department alongside HIS following concerns raised around staffing and capacity levels. The emergency department team are involved in hospital-wide plans to support the department by relieving pressures on the front door and improving overall patient safety, which remains our top priority." And that article was unattributed. From the Glasgow Times, Tuesday the 26th of March, from the news section. Laptop and mobile phone sniffing dogs help Police Scotland. Report by Esther Tarnay.
laptop and mobile phone sniffing dogs will support Police Scotland. It was announced yesterday that animals with special training will join the force to locate devices, including SIM cards, tablets, USB sticks and more. This comes after paedophile and child rapist Benjamin Young was jailed earlier this month, largely thanks to the efforts of a digital evidence detection dog from North Yorkshire in a Scotland first bust. Now, off the back of this success, pets will be trained for 6 to 8 weeks and become an invaluable resource to the police. Officers will rely on Zen, Xena, Max and Pip to sniff out hardware even if they are hidden. At Dalmarnock Police Peace Office, a handler demonstrated how the animals work, using their noses and freezing in position once the items are located. Assistant Chief Constable Andy Freeburn said, "What we are seeing in Scotland is a massive increase, particularly in child sex abuse and exploitation through the sharing of images. We have seen a 500% increase in the last 5 years and a 70% increase in online fraud. It's important that we seize digital evidence. If they are in the house, the dogs will be able to sniff out these items. Police Scotland has used dogs for decades around explosives, firearms, drugs and cash, but this is about moving with the times. A lot of evidence is captured on people's digital devices and being able to train the dogs to find them gives us a huge advantage." And that report was by Esther Tarnay.
This is from the Glasgow Times on the 27th of March 2024. From the news section, and the headline reads, "Child arrested after knife, axe and machete found." This article was by Rebecca Newlands. A child and teen have been arrested after cops allegedly found an axe, machete and knife during a search. Officers were out on patrol in Glasgow city centre on the evening of Monday, March 25th. They worked with local officers to detain and search a group of youths in the area. During this, they say they recovered an axe, machete and knife. A 12-year-old boy and a 17-year-old male youth have been arrested in connection. A spokesperson for Greater Glasgow Police Division said, "On Monday evening, following a disturbance, officers from GGDVRU worked with local officers to detain and search a group of youths within Glasgow city centre, recovering an axe, machete and knife. Two males, aged 12 and 17, arrested for possession of weapons." This article was by Rebecca Newlands. This is from the Glasgow Times, on the 27th of March, 2024. From the news section, and the headline reads, "Closure of Paisley Care Home slammed as disgusting." This article was by Jack Thompson. Paisley Care Home will close as health and social care costs are slashed in Renfrewshire, a decision that has been slammed as disgusting. Montrose Care Home in Heriot Avenue, Fox Bar, will shut down in a move that comes as a blow to its elderly residents, their families and staff. Members of the Integration Joint Board, or IJB, responsible for oversight of Renfrewshire Health and Social Care Partnership, HSCP, voted 6-2 to reduce the care home estate on Friday, with the axe falling on Montrose. Deborah Stafford, whose 90-year-old mum Joyce McMenemy is a resident, said, "I just feel it's a disgusting decision and I can't even understand why it was taken in the first place. To close a care home. I haven't even told my mum yet that this was all happening, because with her dementia this is going to completely unsettle her. I don't know how she's going to handle the move. It's just going to be devastating. My view on it is that they're evicting my mother from her home. This has been her home for 4.5 years. It's her safe place. It's where she knows. And for us now to have to uproot her and move her to one of the other care facilities is going to be devastating. But we're not going to go down without a fight." More than 2,000 people have signed a petition opposing the closure of the home, and campaigners gathered at Renfrewshire House in Paisley on Thursday afternoon to make their voices heard. Shannon Fennelly, a social care assistant at Montrose, said, "It's absolutely shocking, more so for the residents. They've worked their whole lives to live comfortably in retirement and to be safe and protected. and now, through no fault of their own, it's a situation that has nothing to do with them. They've lost their homes. It's unsettling. These residents are used to us every single day. They are used to their routine every single day. For all of that to be taken away, it's disgusting. According to a report to the IJB, closing the home will provide a saving of £399,000. It said admissions to its three homes, which also include Hunter Hill and Renfrew, will be paused to allow bed numbers to be balanced and capacity used for the 36 affected residents. The report added that there would be a period of at least 4 months before residents would move to a new home, unless an individual and their family wanted to move sooner. Councillor Ian McMillan, a Labour representative for Johnston South and Elderslie, was one of the two who voted to reject the closure of Montrose. He said, "It is their homes, it's where they live, and I know some of them have been there for a number of years. I know how traumatic it can be for residents and their families if they're having to leave. I'm not comfortable with that at all." Councillor Jacqueline Cameron, an SNP representative for the same area, was one of six who voted to approve the closure. She said, "It's not something that sits comfortably with any of us, but I think, as I say, I'm confident that this can be handled sensitively by the HSCP staff." A number of other proposals were also discussed at the meeting. It was agreed to permanently close Montrose and Falcon day services for older people and reduce the capacity of the Disability Resource Centre. Meanwhile, Councillor Cameron put forward a motion calling on the suggested merger of Mirren and Milldale day services, which is the subject of a petition for judicial review, to be rejected. However, an amendment from Margaret Kerr, a non-executive representative of NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, asked that a fully informed decision be made at a later date when the IJB has seen the complete findings on the proposal. A vote on this issue resulted in a 4-4 tie, meaning neither passed and the issue will be either continued to a later meeting or go to a dispute resolution. The same is set to happen for the proposed closure of the FlexiCare service after 4 voted in favour and 4 against. This article was by Jack Thompson. This is from the Glasgow Times on the 27th of March 2024 from the news section. And the headline reads, "Huge plans for elegant Chinese restaurant in Glasgow." This article is by Rebecca Newlands. Huge plans have been revealed for an elegant Chinese restaurant to open in the former Prezzo building in Glasgow. Jima, meaning sesame in Mandarin, will open at the site on St Vincent Place on Friday, April 17th, in a move creating over 60 new jobs. The space has been transformed following a £1 million investment to create a contemporary and elegant dining experience. It is the latest venture by Hunky Dory Group, who own popular city centre restaurants such as Chaku Bombay Cafe, Penang and Topola Bamba. Jima will be the 9th opening for the group, and it is being established in partnership with respected Scottish restaurateurs Mario Gizzi and Tony Conetta of DiMaggio's Restaurant Group, or DRG. Paul Sloan, co-founder of Hunky Dory Dining Group, said, "We're so excited to bring Jima to Glasgow City Centre, where it will add something new to our burgeoning dining destination. The concept has been in development for close to 4 years, but finding the right site was key. We've had a plan in place with partners Mario and Tony to transform St Vincent Street / Place, and this is the next stage. It's right next to Buchanan Street and a prime location for a new venue. As soon as we heard the site on St Vincent Place was becoming available, we knew it was the home for Jima. With a business lunch, pre-theatre and evening menus, Jima promises to deliver beautifully presented dishes, and there are options for intimate private dining for up to 12 guests. Paul added, "There aren't many places in the city centre where diners can go and get properly dressed up, and that's the point of difference we're bringing to this part of Glasgow. It's all about elevating customer experiences and providing a late night venue with a bit of glam and sophistication. Dishes will be influenced by Cantonese, Hunan and Sichuan cooking styles, and guests can enjoy small plates at the venue's cocktail bar. Paul said, Chinese food is a big part of Glasgow's culture, and the Jima concept champions this. We've recruited chefs with more than 20 years' experience, working for Asian fusion restaurants in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and hope to bring to Glasgow what Hakka San does to London and Tattoo does to Edinburgh, an elegant, adventurous dining destination. Jima will open on Friday, April 17th, and will be open 7 days a week from 12 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. This article was by Rebecca Newlands. This is from the Glasgow Times, on the 27th of March, 2024, from the news section, and the headline reads, Man slept on street waiting for flat to be ready to move in. This article was by Stuart Patterson. A homeless man has been left in despair, waiting months for a flat he had been offered to be ready to move into. He has been left rough sleeping while he waits for the keys to the Housing Association flat. Daniel Thompson, 37, said, I was told on January 24th they had a flat for me. I viewed it more than 5 weeks ago and accepted it. I was told it would be ready in 2 weeks, 3 weeks max. I was told it needed a sparkle clean and then it would be ready. Outside the flat, Daniel said he has no idea when he will get a roof over his head he can call his own. Daniel added, Last Tuesday, I tried to contact the housing officer and left a message, but I have not heard anything. I don't know when I can move in. I'm having to rely on people putting me up. Since viewing the flat, I've been rough sleeping twice when I've had nowhere else to go. Daniel said when he asked about a move-in date and told the landlord he had nowhere to go, he was told to contact the homeless service. He's been to the City Mission overnight welcome centre when he had no place to sleep. He said he would not allow himself to be put in a homeless hotel because his brother died in one last year. Daniel, who became homeless after a relationship breakup, said he is looking to get back into work once he has a new address and can get his life back on track. Sean Clerkin, campaign coordinator of the Scottish Tenants Organisation, has been assisting Mr. Thompson. He said, It's a disgrace that Daniel, who's homeless, has been kept waiting for over 2 months and still counting, since being told he would be housed on a permanent basis by the Wheatley Group. In the meantime, he's been forced to do sofa surfing and sleep on the streets. Wheatley Housing Group have got to do better when dealing with homeless people, meeting their needs instead of treating them with complete indifference. Wheatley Homes Glasgow said it has been in regular contact with Mr. Thompson and apologised for the delay. A spokesperson said, We're very sorry for any delay in the property being ready. Unfortunately, the previous tenants took longer to move out than we'd hoped, and we've also had to arrange for repairs inside the home. We're doing everything we can to get the property ready for the customer as soon as possible. Our team will continue to keep in regular contact with the customer. This article was by Stuart Patterson. This is from the Glasgow Times, on the 27th of March, 2024. From the news section, and the headline reads, Temu adverts cause worry among shoppers of a possible scam. This article is by Carlo Simone. The online marketplace Temu is running a giveaway offering users free money in exchange for new sign-ups, but some shoppers have raised concerns about its legitimacy. Temu is known for its extremely cheap goods and is running a promotion where it says by downloading and sharing your sign-up code with others, you can both earn up to £50 in your PayPal account. These referrals have gone viral on X, formerly known as Twitter, with some questioning if it's too good to be true and worrying if it's a scam. One person posted, Surely something dodgy behind this whole Temu thing. How can a company give away free money like that? Another joked, This is wild, you know. Temu is about to steal your identity and make your clone for the bargain price of £40 to £50. Concerns have been raised by the terms and conditions of the referral promotion on Temu and the use of personal data. The Daily Mail reported, The rules in the cash reward promotion state users agree to give Temu permission to use their photo, name, likeness, voice, opinions, statements, biographical information, and their hometown and state worldwide. The referral scheme has seen thousands of people take to social media to share Temu codes in order to try and get a cash reward. Temu issued a statement on the situation, saying, "Temu gathers user information solely for the purpose of delivering our service and to enhance customer experience. We do not sell user information. The terms and conditions highlighted are commonplace in similar promotions held by various companies across different sectors." Discussing Temu's data privacy concerns on its website, the consumer watchdog Which said that it hadn't run the site through its own security testing, but was aware of reports that the app is harvesting users' data. It added, "We believe greater consideration around these legitimate interests is necessary, and that a better standard to improve transparency for consumers is long overdue. We're working with the Information Commissioner's Office on a code of practice for apps. It's really possible to take full control of your data when using an app, but consider following a few simple steps to get a better handle on it when you're using Temu or any other app." This article is by Carlos Simone.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q and Review and to tell your friends about our service.